Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to the First Cut Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Kyle Porter. I'm Chip Patterson. We are moving at a good pace of play here for today's show. We are not on the clock. We are not going to be facing any penalties. And Kyle Porter, check out for a full in-depth breakdown of all the action from the Northern Trust. Make sure you download that episode here, Kyle, and as we begin to wrap things up there and move them forward on into to Medina, to the rest of the FedEx Cup playoffs. How is your sort of Bryson DeChambeau takes? How have they been cooking overnight?
So I found myself on Monday, we're taping this on Monday morning. I found myself on Monday thinking way more about, and I expected this, but thinking way more about the Bryson Brooks slow play, PGA Tour shot link response, all these different tentacles of this, whatever you want to call it, situation, than about anything that happened in the tournament. Reed winning, Abe Anser contending, Harold Varner getting into the top 30. And I don't know if that is a playoff issue. I don't know if it is a this time of the year issue, or if it's a genuine interest in the slow play Bryson thing. I don't know what it is, but that's kind of like where I'm at as of Monday, right after the tournament.
And I think that doesn't some of Bryson's, he is a divisive character. He is a character that has attracted a lot of attention from the moment that he turned professional after a strong performance in a major as an amateur. Now, I think that part of Bryson's emergence here kind of comes with a little bit of, we haven't seen or heard much from him. And so, I'm not tired of Bryson's antics, and I'm not as like quick to dismiss them, and I'm willing to engage them because it feels like we haven't been spending a lot of time with Bryson throughout the season. He hasn't been in the thick of it. He hasn't been in the mix at the biggest tournaments, and he hasn't been, tearing it up all along the way. And so I'm like, all right, I'll entertain some Bryson antics for a couple days.
Well, I think what's interesting, he sees himself as this like mega disruptor. Like he, like, cause think sure. about like, do I?
I was saying, sure. No, I agree.
Think about all the rules that have been affected, not necessarily changed, but just like that. Think about all the rules controversy that he's stirred up between the side saddle putting, the, what was it? He was using like a compass or whatever on the greens at the Travelers a couple years ago.
Yes. Yes. No, it was a protractor.
Whatever.
No, it was a compass.
Galileo over there. To the slow play thing. And I think the way he views it is like, yeah, of course. I'm a disruptor. I'm Snapchat. I'm whatever. And it's like, maybe, or like you're just breaking the rules, I think that you can get into this broader debate of like, are the rules of golf archaic or whatever, but all that to say, like, I think he just like doesn't get it sometimes. And I've got a quote here. So this is from a Golf Channel article by Rex Hoggard, and he's talking about Bryson and Koepka apparently had a meeting, would pay money to hear what was said there. But they met up on maybe a couple of times on Sunday. We heard about the first one of Bryson going up to Ricky Elliott, Brooks's caddy, and being like, where's Brooks? Good idea, Bryson. We don't know if it happened a second time. Apparently it did. Anyway, Bryson gave this quote. He said, everybody says not to respond to people on social media. I can confirm that that's good life advice. But I'm not about to let my reputation be known as a slow player. Okay. He said, I just don't appreciate that. I think it's unfortunate because people don't see what I do day in and day out. And this next part, high-fiving the kids, saying thank you to the fans and volunteers out there. And they just look at all the negative stuff. Like, my only takeaway from that little paragraph, what is that, 3-4 sentences? You do not get it. Like, you do not, it is not clicking, my man. High-fiving the kids and saying thank you to the fans and volunteers?
I don't understand why my coworkers hate me. Like, yes, I eat their lunch, but I say good morning to them when I walk in every day. That's what that sounds like. I mean, you think that you've checked the box by saying good morning to someone every single day, so then you can drink their sodas from the fridge.
Well, and again, it goes back to, like, he's whenever this comes up, he's always pointing in different directions. Oh, look, the slow caddy walking over there. Oh, look over there. I play quick at home. Well, look over there. I high-fived a kid. And it's like, again, I said this like 10 times on our previous podcast, but like, just any sentence that displays any form of humility would be great.
He's a what about king. King of the whatabouts. All hail Bryson DeChambeau, king of the whatabouts.
What about that quick round I played at Riviera 3 years ago? Okay.
Oh. Yeah. To be fair, like, the excessive pacing of shots and slow play around the green, I do think that's just him being Bryson. It's got to be, right?
Yeah, you know, I read there's a really interesting article. Jeff Schaffer kind of broke down the tour's released statement that we talked about on our previous podcast. And he was talking about how, like, the tour for like 15 years, going back to like 06 or something. I guess that's not quite 15 years, but so because of the shot length stuff and all the data that they have, they actually time players. And so you have volunteers out there that Bryson's telling thank you to, but you have volunteers out there. And there's a button like on their little computer thing that they have, and you've been to tournaments, like, you've seen the volunteers out there. They have all these contraptions, and they actually like press a button once the first guy is hit to mark that player has completed his shot, and then they press it after the second guy is hit. So you can't, and then if they're playing threesomes, they press it after the third guy's hit. So you can't time the first guy because there's no like starting point to it, but you can definitely time between that shot and the second one, and then the second and the third. So there is data out there that the PGA Tour owns that will give us at least some picture of like who's playing slow and who isn't. And I don't know, maybe that's what Bryson's referencing when he says, on average, I take 30 seconds. Like, okay, well, maybe, you know, but it doesn't, you know, I've watched you. Andy Johnson did that little study at the U.S. Open. Now, granted, that's like 9 holes, but on average, he was like 60 seconds. So you're like, that's not even close.
Right.
And, you know, I think the argument is in the nuance of like Bryson running up to like, how fast do I walk and all that garbage. But look, like, the narrative is the narrative for a reason. The perception is the perception for a reason. When you have guys like Justin Thomas saying like, look, I like Bryson, but he is unbelievably slow. Like, that's a real thing. And Bryson's just not getting it for some reason.
One of the whatabouts from, let's hit a little news item and tell me if it's a big news item. One of the names that was referenced in a whatabout was Stevie Williams, the caddy. Stevie Williams and Jason Day have split. Is this a big deal to you, Kyle, or is it a little deal?
I don't know that I care that much. Here's the thing. Here's what's interesting. And some people were pointing this out on Twitter. Like, do we think this was Jason? So Jason Day's quote about it was weird. He said it was a mutual decision and a really hard one to make. And you're like, well, was it mutual or was it not? Like, I don't know. Like, the way he said it was odd. But people were pointing this out on Twitter. They said, do you think Jason Day fired Steve Williams or did Steve Williams fire Jason Day? Because they were together for 6 events. So Day goes T21, T8, T66, MC, T40, MC. So for the last month, he hasn't finished inside the top 40. And Steve Williams, from what I know about him, is not like out here just to like hang out on the PGA Tour. Like he, you know, he's not about that gig.
I want winners.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, to me, it more just represents like where Jason Day's game is at than anything.
Yeah. Jason, the operative question for me is, do you, this only resonates as a big story if you believe that Jason Day in August of 2019 is one of the 12 that matter, and I don't think he is.
So he's ranked number 22 in the world right now, which I believe is his lowest ranking since 2012.
Wow.
And he's like on the bubble for the President's Cup, which is insane. I mean, he's gonna be in, obviously, but because if he's not in, he'll be for sure a captain's pick. But yeah, it's just been, you know, he won twice last year and he still dropped outside the top 20 in the world. That's how kind of weak his 2019 has been. And, you know, his thing, I got to look up his stats. He for so many years, he was like the number one putter on the PGA Tour. But he was never like he was always a great driver. So his strokes gained driving was always great. He was never a great iron player statistically, I don't think. So this year he is 8th off the tee in strokes gain, 49th in putting. So that's fallen way off. And then 101st in strokes gain approaching the green.
Ew. That's gross.
Last year he was 142nd approach the green. Mm. Second in putting. Year before that, 110th approach the green.
I mean, he's just not an elite golfer right now. He is a one-time major winner that was the former number one player in the world. But right now is Jason Day just kind of like a Martin Keimer?
Yeah. How do you mean that?
Just. So I was going, obviously Martin Keimer's won 2 majors, but it's just that, that mentality of you are a major championship winner. There was a period of time where you were the, you know, statistically number one player in the world and arguably one of the hottest golfers in the world. But as we sit here, there can be flashes of talent where you're like, oh yeah, I remember, or there can be flashes where you're taken back and you say, oh yeah, that's right. Like you are, you know, potentially one of the world's best golfers, or you were one of the world's best golfers, but there's just not any part of the consideration where you're looking at Jason Day and you have any kind of high expectations.
Yeah. I mean, that might be a little unfair today just because he won twice last year. Keimer hasn't won since 14. I think he hasn't won since the US Open. Yeah. So he wins the Players and the US Open in 14, hasn't won since. Which is wild. And he dropped to what, 191st in the world?
Okay, so I'll back off. Martin Keimer is unfair, but he's backsliding. He's on his way to Martin Keimer, Kyle. If he doesn't turn things around quick, he could be Martin Keimer.
No, I think that's a good point. The difference is like I'm intrigued by the ups and downs of Keimer's career. And with Day, it feels more like he's just kind of like sliding into oblivion is the wrong word, but like it doesn't feel like he's got like this like, oh, but when he's 36 he's gonna have this sick 3-year run. I mean, he could, but it doesn't feel like that with him.
Okay, I agree. And one other bit of news before we get into stock up, stock down. It is that 25 players secured their PGA Tour cards at the Korn Ferry event in Portland. This is that moment where, you know, you've got a tournament going on, but there's also a lot more going on for a lot of these players.
Yeah, for sure. It was super intense, and you saw real emotion in a way that you just don't in like a WGC or a FedEx Cup playoff event. I mean, you saw real emotion from professional golfers that are playing their way onto the PGA Tour. And, you know, there's several interesting stories. One of them was Scott Harrington. He finished, I think he was second or third in the event to play his way into the top 25 on the Korn Ferry to get his card. He's been out there for like 18 years or something like that. Like, never made the PGA Tour, made it for the first time. His wife had cancer. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And you see him, he's playing with Christopher Ventura, my guy from Oklahoma State. And you see Harrington he's just yelling after his putt drops on 18. You're like, this guy, what is he doing? But it's like a legit, like, real emotion that he's feeling. Like, he just made the PGA Tour. He's never done it. And so that was cool. And then on the opposite side of that, my other guy from OSU, Ed Lohr, he needed to make a putt on 18 to get into the Korn Ferry final. So he wasn't going to get his card. He was just going to get into the top, I think it was 75, and get into the Korn Ferry finals, which start this week. And if he makes it, he gets in, and you can finish in the top 25 in the finals and still get your PGA Tour card. And if he misses it, he's out and has to go back to Q school for the Korn Ferry Tour. And he left it on the edge, like it was like hanging on the lip. And that's the difference between Q school and potentially a PGA Tour card.
Damn.
Yeah, it is. It's not. It's like real stuff.
Oh my gosh, that is the exact opposite of the pressure at the Northern Trust.
Yes, it is. It was the antithesis of the Northern Trust.
Yes. Coming up on the other side, stock up, stock down, and it's time for trivia. Next.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And now it's time for Stock Up, Stock Down, brought to you by TD Ameritrade, coming out of the Northern Trust, going into Medina as the playoff field has been cut to 70, and then it will be cut to 30 at the end of the BMW Championship. Let's start with John Rahm. Rahm had a share of the lead. Stock up, stock down for the big booty Spaniard.
The BBS.
The BBS.
Way up. Have you seen his numbers this summer?
Yeah, he's been awesome. His worldwide starts, his like last six worldwide starts, he's not been worse than 11th.
His worst finish this summer was a T11 at the Open.
Yeah, that's it.
That's his worst. So he goes T3 at Pebble. He goes T2 at the Andalusia Masters, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation. The full name is actually the Estrella Dam NA Andalusia Masters, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation. What if we had to cover that and write that out every time?
Sometimes I feel like it gets a little bit mixed up with bowl names, so I am used to it.
he wins the Irish Open at La Hinch, Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. T11 at the Open, 7th at Memphis, and then T3 at the Northern Trust. If you're like power ranking who's going to win the FedEx Cup, like he has to be in your top four. Like he's lights out right now.
So who else would be up there? Brooks? Are you still going Patrick Reed?
I would go Brooks, Rory, Reed, Rahm.
I'll leave Reed out of there. If he sustains this, I'll be wrong. But
so who's your top four or five?
Brooks.
So you want me to read you the top 10 right now in the FedEx?
Yes.
So it goes Brooks, Reed, Rory, Kuchar, Rahm. I basically just picked the top four, by the way. Cantlay, Xander, Father Abraham, Answer, Gary Woodland, and DJ.
Give me Brooks, Rory, DJ, and Rahm. Those are my four.
My list, but substitute DJ for Reed.
Right, and jumping over a Cantlay or a Xander, players that I like that I'm just not going to saddle up with them as my picks to really turn it on, like with the big money on the line.
Do you think, speaking of that, do you think these guys get jacked for like 15 mil? Like is like are Brooks, let's start with Brooks, Rory, and DJ. Are they like, man, 15 mil? Like, dude, I'm going to get after it this week. Or is it just kind of like, more money?
I don't think they get jacked specifically for the amount, but I do think that with it being like, this ain't a for charity situation, right? Like this ain't like, we're playing to win money, but the money's all going to, you know, go to a good cause. So everybody wins. I think that because there are winners and losers, because there are colleagues and peers who get 15 million and then colleagues and peers who won't get 15 million. It's like that it like taps into the competitive nature. It sort of taps into the, I'm gonna throw a big old hunk of meat into the middle, and we're just gonna see who goes and gets it. I think that is what they get up for. I don't think it's the number. I just think it's the fact that it's a tournament for a big old sack of money and a competition for a big old sack of money. Where at East Lake, I think we see it. I think that's where we see it start to catch hold.
Yeah, but here's okay. So yes, I agree. But here's the point: is that when you're talking about competition only, it's still just a PGA Tour event, right? And so I think you see an intensity commensurate with a regular PGA Tour event, even like, and it feels like the money should make it like it should raise the intensity to like a major or at least like somewhere in that ballpark.
I don't think it does.
But because, and I agree with you, because they care more about, I perceive they care more about like winning a golf tournament than winning a bunch of money, then that inherently means that you're going to get the intensity of a regular PGA Tour event than it. What I'm saying is basically like the money does not ratchet it up like it is intended to. Or it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, like Rory's won. Brooks has not won a FedEx Cup, right?
Right. Right. Yeah.
I think that Brooks might want, I think that in the year of Brooks, he just might want to have that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I mean, like, I don't know why I feel like I'm making a controversial statement picking Brooks Koepka to win this thing.
Well, he does feel that way though. I heard a quote from him the other day. He said, you know, this is what you, it was the Wyndham Rewards at the end of the year. He said, this is what you play for all year to be number one in the Wyndham Rewards. And I was like, in my head, I was like, at what date of 2019 do I think Brooks found out about the Wyndham Rewards?
Was it when he got invited to this event?
Was it in August?
Yeah.
Was it in June? When was it? Probably wasn't January, right?
It was not January. Nah, man. Oh, he's the best. All right. Stock up, stock down. You just referenced him. He's in the top 10 of the FedEx Cup. Father Abraham answer.
Father Abraham.
He had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. He's so answer from Mexico, correct?
Yeah, played at OU. Boomer.
Is part of the President's Cup picture.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. President's Cup team's pretty, I mean, like, the one of the problems is that they need the Americans to send their, like, under 30 squad to, like, have a shot. Maybe, like, their under 25 squad.
Are you just trying to send Colin Morikawa, Matthew Wolf, and Victor Hovland? Oh, Victor Hovland's from Sweden. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, Norway. But yeah, like they don't, yeah. When Koepka and all those guys are involved, they don't really have a chance. But the international team's fascinating. Sung J.M., my guy. Siwoo could be involved again after his, you know, going finger to the lips at Liberty National in 2017. Build a statue, Sean Martin says.
Hideki.
But no, yeah, Hideki, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he'll be there, obviously. Adam Scott's playing great. Day. Abe, Father Abe. He, okay, so going back to, he wins Australian Open at the end of 18. And then he's had a weird year because he's missed six cuts. He, let's see here, he was T16 at the PGA, solid, T49 at the US Open, misses the cut at the Open, but then he goes second at the Northern Trust, and then there was somewhere else where he can it was the Players. He finishes T12. So he's had some like really good starts, but then he's had some, he just like, he's missed a bunch of cuts as well. So I don't know. Like, I like him. I think he's a good player. I'll go stock up just because I thought he really kind of showed out on the weekend at Liberty National.
And you just mentioned him. Are we stock up or stock down on Adam Scott?
I'm way up. Nobody's talking about him. He's been awesome this year. He's got six top tens, two runners up, just finished fifth at the Northern Trust. He's like top three in strokes gained. I mean, an all-time strokes gained year, and we're just ignoring it. Like, it's not happening. He's done the opposite of Jason Day. He's up to 17th. He was 41st at the beginning of the year. He's up to 17th in the world right now. I think he's playing awesome golf. This time last year, Chip, he was number 76 in the world.
So doesn't he have but what's his winning drought? Aren't we dealing with a little bit? It's been a while since he's been able to actually break through. I feel like that, like, we aren't talking about him. But I feel like we were talking about him earlier in the year. And if I remember correctly, the discussion was he's just got to break through and log another win.
Yeah, he hasn't won since 16 Honda Classic.
Yeah. Because he's been there. He has been there, as you just mentioned. But you got to close the deal.
Strokes gained update. Number one, Rory, 2.6. That's unfathomable. Number two, Cantlay, 2.1. Adam Scott's three at 1.9.
Wow.
There's only two guys in the twos, and Rory's almost like he's kind of staring at three.
And it speaks to his ball striking that Adam Scott's also had some pretty bad putting performances throughout this success.
He has. He's putting it better this year, though. He is, let's see here.
I'm going to say he's number 30th in strokes gained putting.
He's 40th.
Yeah.
But for him, I mean, that's like being first, you know.
Yeah, you can't. We can only have but so many scales that we grade these guys on. you're either gaining a bunch of strokes on the field with your putter, or you're not.
Yes.
But stock way up for Adam Scott, and that has been Stock Up, Stock Down, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. All right, trivia time. Let's see if Chip can do it. Get anything? Yeah. Any points?
Are we ending with this? Ending with trivia?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's end with this. I got some. I think you can get. I think we're in your world, your wheelhouse right here. So Patty Reed wins at Liberty National on Sunday. He's now one of this is a Justin Rae special. Justin Rae, head of content, 15th club. he does a great job with all their stuff. Everybody should check out his work. He posted this on Monday. You might have already seen it. But Patrick Reed won for the seventh time on the PGA Tour on Sunday. He's now one of just four players under the age of 30.
Currently under the age of 30.
With seven or more PGA Tour wins, including a major. Can you name the other three?
Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas?
Yes.
Does Justin Thomas have seven?
I think he's got nine.
Okay. Because JT had, in his Player of the Year season, didn't he also have like four or five wins?
I think he had five.
Yeah. So he was on his way there just thanks to that one season. All right. Now, one of just four. So Reed, Spieth, JT, and then our fourth. Oh, is it Brooks Koepka?
Yes.
And it's Brooks Koepka because four of his wins are majors. Brooks gets... I was sitting there trying to figure out what these other... Like, I was trying to tally up the wins, and it's like, well, if you only need to get to seven, and I know he's got like a CJ Cup in there, and he's got a few other dubs along the way. So yeah, Brooks Koepka.
A few other dubs. Rory holds a lead of 0.1 strokes per round over Patrick Cantlay in the PGA Tour season scoring average race. Should Rory win the season scoring title, he would join who as the only players from outside the U.S. to win the scoring title three or more times?
Oh, wow. Outside the U.S.
Three or more times.
And it's a PGA Tour scoring.
Yeah. Yeah. Scoring average.
Ernie Els?
That's a phenomenal guess, but it's not correct.
How long has PGA Tour been? Is it Vijay Singh?
No, that's another great guess.
Are we going backwards from that era that I was just plucking from?
Yeah, but not super far.
Greg Norman.
Yes.
Nice. Hey. All right.
Okay, I got one bonus one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm playing with house money right now. You're feeling yourself.
So Jordan Spieth shot 67 on Sunday, his lowest final round score worldwide in 2019. He finished second in the field. We talked about this in our previous pod. He finished second in the field in strokes gained putting. For the season, he's averaging 0.86 strokes gained per round on the greens. This ranks where in his career hierarchy in terms of like from best to worst seasons putting?
One. Number one. I think it's his best.
The best total of his PGA Tour career.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is the best putting season of his PGA Tour career.
Yeah. I mean, he Jordan, like the phrase Jordan Spieth has never putted better than he's putting right now is like statistically true.
I thought you were going to ask me what he shot a 67. It was his lowest final round score. I know his average Sunday score, I think, is 74. I was going to guess that his second lowest Sunday final round score in 2019 would be a 71.
I've got it. Well, I'm pulling it up right now. So he goes, let's see here. He shot an 81 on Sunday at the Genesis Open. he shot a 69 at Mexico.
Okay.
And he shot a 68 at St. Jude.
All right. So even if his scoring average is not in the 60s on the weekends and far from it, he at least does have those on his card somewhere.
Yes. But damn. Everything else is like, there's a 77, there's a 76, there's a 75, two 75s, that 81. I mean, it's just a wasteland of high 70s.
Just blood everywhere.
Yeah, it's a bloodbath. It's not good.
He is Kyle Porter. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Kyle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip.